Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Talker United Yellow Army podcast. It's me on my own, Richard Hughes, today because Guy is on his second week of holiday, hence no podcast last week. So without Guy, I am literally just going to do a very quick intro. Here it is. And then we are going to go and talk to Aaron Downs. So you'll hear Dom, his voice, and then me asking Aaron a couple of questions. One he wouldn't answer. And then we are going to go and talk to superfan Hayden Jones. I know he won't like me calling him superfan, but I did in the intro with the interview with him, so I will again, because he is a superfan. There's so many superfans at this club. He is one of them. So basically, this is it. The intro from me, Richard Hughes, and then I won't be speaking to you on the other side of Aaron Jones and Aaron Jones. I did so well, didn't I? Look, just get on with it, shall we?
Aaron, obviously a disappointing result at Tonbridge on Saturday. What's the mood like being in the camp? How have you reflected on things?
What we had to make sure was that we didn't have a hangover from the game. Very disappointed with the result and definitely elements of the performance. We had a plan going there and that sort of went out the window for a 20-minute spell in the second half, and we looked all at sea, really. So the shape sort of went a bit. So it was disappointing. Credit to Tonbridge, like I said on the day, but we can't constantly say that. Credit to the opposition, they did well. And we've got to make sure that we're getting those plaudits from an opposition manager saying, oh, credit to the to Torquay, they were good. And that's what we've got to make sure, that we get that back. Disappointed with our certain elements of our shape and our sort of reaction to a transition. We had majority share of the ball, good amount of the ball, possession wise, but both boxes were where we come undone. So the players, like I said, we moved on quick. We had to move on quick, and we've put a full stop to it Monday morning. And then, to be fair to them, they've trained ever so hard this week. You know, they've really trained hard and worked hard. Doesn't guarantee you a victory at all, but they're definitely putting in the effort. And it's important now that we make sure that we show up Saturday, because there's a good crowd, a good occasion, a very good occasion, and one we're really grateful for. But it's making sure we've got to focus on the football and do our part, play our part.
I think I used probably at least one cliche too many in the last press call, so I'll try not to repeat that again today. But obviously we've talked about after the game about the fine margins and that chance for Aaron Jarvis in the first half. If he sticks that one away, obviously it could be 1-0 up. But also confidence, obviously, at this moment, I mean, it's likely to be fragile at times where everything's going around the club. And obviously those three goals in the space of 10 minutes possibly illustrate. What are you able to in training to actually try and help the players with that? Because it can't be easy for them at the moment.
Well, for instance, the chance you're talking about with Jarvis is a great footballer. He's put a lot of them away, so we know that he scores most of them rather than not, so it's not a major concern in that. It's good that we're getting those opportunities. And it's the time of season where you do get odd results. You know, you get, you know, bottom teams beating top teams, and they're really competitive games because both ends of the table, people fight for different things, and they mean so much. So when you're, you know, 10 games in, 12 games into a season, everyone's still got ambitions and of where they can be. So there's a little bit more freedom. Whereas now it's a lot more tighter. I'm going to use one of your cliches, and it's a business end of the season. So you do find yourself with very competitive games, and we've got to make sure that we come out on top of those competitive games. But we've also got a plan and a shape and an organisation to do that. And then if we are have those elements to our game, that will give the players confidence, because they'll know they'll have reassurance from each other that they're going to work hard for each other and be in the right positions at the right time. So if one does go forward, then the other one's covering around, and vice versa. So simple things like that, but making sure those are really spot on to make sure we're very hard to beat, because we're a little bit easy to beat the last two games for me, especially in moments in the game. There's been spells of collective goals, so that mindset has to change. You know, if we do go 1-0 down, don't concede 2, 3 and 4. You know, make sure that we stay in the game, and we can counteract that, because we had a great reaction to the first goal against Tunbridge, but then the second and third and fourth followed very, very quickly each other. You know, and we're in the ascendancy to try and push for to make it 1-1, and then once that second goal came in, we sort of went a little bit. So that mindset is really important going into these last eight games, and that's why we put a full stop to it, to make sure the players have freed themselves up. So worked hard this week, and hopefully we can go into the game with a good organisation, a good work rate and a bit of confidence, knowing that we know we can beat any team on any given day. These results happen where bottom beats top, vice versa. So we've got to make sure we focus on what we can do, and stop any sort of threats that Hampton have, because they do have a few.
Now, you'll be fully aware that it hasn't always been the case all season that you've been able to call upon some of your more experienced heads, but some of those have come back recently, the likes of Kevin Dawson. One of those also is Asa Hall, who's also been supporting you on the touchline. Obviously, if he's going to be considered for first team duty, does that cause any issues at all?
It doesn't cause any issues. It's great to have Asa back. You know, we're really happy to have Asa back available. He was on the bench Saturday, and you know, he's looking sharp in training. So it's really good to have some of those experienced heads like Kevin, like Tom Lapsley, obviously back available, and now Asa. So it's really good to have those experienced players back in amongst the squad. But that does present myself with one or two problems, i.e. on the coaching side, because that leaves, you know, me. I've got good support in the staff, you know, and Kenny's fantastic with the goalkeepers and the rest of the staff, Louis and Regan and Russell, and Josh all support me, as well as Niall, support me fantastically. But I did need somebody else to come and help me, which what we've done is I've moved to bring Robbie Herrera from the youth up into the first team to help myself during the week coaching. So the players aren't just hearing my voice constantly. So they've got another experienced coach alongside me, and Robbie's going to be fantastic, because he's very vastly experienced, knows the division, knows the league. He's got an understanding of the squad, because he's, you know, with head of the youth, he still has an eye on what the first team are doing, and he's at our home game, so he's seen a bit of us. But at the same time, he's got fresh eyes. And a really experienced sounding board, and really importantly, he's got the club at heart. He's, you know, been a part of this club for numerous different roles over a long, long period of time, and I've known Robbie for a long time, so our relationship is strong. He's a very good coach, I'm really glad to have him on board, and also glad to have Asa back available as a player in the squad. And Asa is still helping me out, definitely, and a real good sounding board for me, but he's also a very good captain, and you know, he can fulfil that role as well, but it gives us all another experienced coach to help us out during the week on the match day, alongside what he's doing with the youth, because he's still obviously running the youth as well. So pleased to have Robbie on board.
Like I say, a fresh voice in training paths, but you've both represented the club with distinction as players, and so also you'll be only too aware of the rivalry between the traditional rivalry, I should say, between Exeter, Plymouth and Torquay. But this weekend, obviously, all three fan bases are going to be coming together, with Plymouth and Exeter having no fixtures due to the international break. That's a really positive thing for Devon as a county. We need the three teams, don't we?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it's brilliant that we're able to label it Devon Day, and the amount of support we've had from Plymouth and Exeter is unbelievable, and we thank them ever so much. And while I'm not naive to think that there'll be a few Gresham and Pilgrims shouting and supporting Hampden and Richmond, I also do know that they understand the bigger picture in this situation. They understand the importance of having three professional teams in Devon, and they understand the importance of the rivalry and the history that this club has with both those two Devon clubs, and they want to keep that. So I really appreciate the support financially and in person that they're showing to the football club, and they know that the bigger picture is that they want survival for one of their rivals, and we really appreciate that. It's very humbling and very exciting to have them along. It would be very weird seeing a Plymouth fan, if they do support Torquay or Exeter for that matter, but hopefully we can get them on side early, and we can have majority of the supporters in the stadium cheering for Torquay on Saturday.
We mustn't forget, of course, as always, we have got opponents in Hampton and Richmond, very good opponents, as they certainly came out on top in the reverse fixture earlier on this season. What are you expecting to see from them on Saturday? What do you see as being their key threats?
They're a good side. They're a well organised and hard working team. They've got a few weaknesses. Got some good players amongst their ranks, that's for sure, and we've got to be aware of. We've watched them Tuesday night when they were at home to Welling, and we know all about them, so there's nothing that's going to surprise us on the day. But Mel's got a good tune out of them there at the moment, and they're pushing for playoffs. But what we do know is Welling went there and gave them a really good match. And as I said, teams at the bottom are just as competitive as the teams at the top and playing for a lot of things, and that's what we've got to make sure that we focus on, is that we understand the threats and the dangers that they might have, but also we know we've got threats and dangers of our own, and we've got to accentuate those and really bring those to the front so that they're worried about us more so than we are of them. So we wish Hampton and Mel all the best in their playoff trying to get into the playoffs rather, but that'll be after the game for sure, and make sure that we stamp our authority on the game.
And finally, Aaron, without asking you to name the starting lineup, how are things looking in training squad wise? Do you envisage any selection issues?
One or two took a knock in the game against Tunbridge. Aaron Jarvis took a knock to his knee when he collided with the keeper with the chance we're talking about. So he's been assessed as we speak, and has been this week. We just had to let it settle down. And Austin is still probably not available for this weekend. We got good news with a meeting he had with a specialist this week, and we feel that's not going to be long at all. Dan Martin trained today, so we'll see where he's at, but he is still recovering, and there's still a bit of tenderness in there, so we'll see where he's at, but Dan Martin's close to being back, and that's pretty much it really in the injury front. We're pretty strong elsewhere. There's not too many others. Obviously Finlay Krask, who we've talked about, will not be available, so touch and go with one or two, but Austin we may not see.
Brilliant. Thank you, Aaron, and the best luck for Saturday.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everyone who's going to come along.
Aaron, one of the things that came out of the latest update on the website for supporters yesterday was the fact that funds have been secured for payment for wages for the next pay date.
Yeah.
That must be a huge relief for everyone, and can you feel that kind of relief?
Yes, definitely. The spirit on the training ground this morning was really good. All of a sudden, players know they're going to get paid, and the sun was out. Well. Yeah, exactly. So people in shorts and t-shirt, you're dragging them off the pitch then. So which is what you want, So it is relieving, and it is welcomed news. That's for sure for the players and for all the staff, because it's there is that uncertainty every month. You don't know what's going to happen. So. And people have just got on with it, So there was, a brightness to people, but at the same time, I don't think that's been an issue for non-bright, for not being bright. The players have still been fantastic. In tiring circumstances, they've been really good. What we do know is that the people who have secured those funds, the hierarchy at the football club who have secured those funds, have had to work extremely hard to make that happen. And everybody thanks them for their tireless work, because it's not been easy. It's been difficult circumstances for them to secure that money, and we thank them. You know, I thank them from my family, but all the players and all the staff, I'm sure, thank them for helping them pay this month's rent, mortgage, whatever it is. So yeah, we thank them a lot.
You stole my thunder, really, because I was going to ask about Asa, but it's nice to know that Robbie's now involved in the first team as well, because obviously he's talkie through and through. How good has it been able to have someone like Asa standing beside you on the obviously you've been standing beside Gary for 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's
Me and Ace have known each other for a long time, and we've got a really good relationship and understanding. You know, he's been a great source of support, information for myself, and you know, we're constantly on the phone. You know, our relationship's gotten closer because we're speaking a lot more now than what we do as player coach.
Is it Ace on the phone again?
a little bit, but it's more. I think it's his wife Mel saying, "Is that Downsy again?" You know, so. You know, I've had to lean on him a lot, and you know, and that has sort of, you know, he's not taking a step back from playing, but he's sort of, no, you know, taking his time in his recovery. But he's, you know, fully fit and raring to go. And I thought it was only right, with Ace's blessing, and he's more than happy, you know, to have Robbie on board, because he knows Robbie, and Ace had done his coaching licence with the academy, so him and Robbie have got a good relationship as well. So it made sense that we all work together. And like I say, I'm still, you know, involving Ace with everything. But then instead of going out and, you know, coaching or whatever, he's training, you know, so it allows us to allow him to do that still. Like I say, Ace is still going to be really important for the football club on and off the pitch between now and the end of the season.
And I know it seems a bit nutty to look too far forward at the moment, but you'd like to stay in the role, wouldn't you, if and when and whatever happens?
I can't answer that question right now. It's very.
Well, I thought I'd have a go.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. It's one of them things. It really is the most. It's not about me. That's a very cliche thing to say, but it is not about me. It's about the future of the football club and securing that. And if I can play my little part, then I'll be a happy man.
So I'm joined by super fan. I'm going to call you Hayden Jones. Obviously, you've been following Torquay United since year dot, really, like we all have. How are you feeling at the moment about all of this, all that's happened, all that's gone on?
Pretty much the same as everybody else at the moment. Massively sad. So just confused by all. Which is why I leave that to people like you to sort of dig deep and dig into the detail, because, you know, there's so many, I'm sure it's the same at every club, but in football, certainly at this level, it's just cacophony of rumours. Yeah. I hate to listen to rumours. They go, "Oh, I know somebody who's going to take over," and so on. I can't listen to any of that. It's just noise, and I, which is why I listen to the people like yourself and Dave Thomas and the people that know to get the detail, because it's far beyond my sort of little brain to understand the ins and outs. And you're never going to find out what's said behind closed doors. So the people that try and pretend that they have a friend who works there and knows, it's nonsense, and it's just unnecessary noise. But in terms of, you know, I think for me, I did actually think I did put something on Facebook the other week, which is very rare for me for football. The result against Taunton for me was just highlighted, you know, how far we have dropped.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, for me, just playing them was annoying, I found.
Yeah.
But, you know, Taunton Town for me is a club that we would, you know, over in the past, you know, deigned to have given them a pre-season friendly if they were lucky, and here we are playing them in a league situation and getting humped 3-0 at home, you know, and that to me just highlighted where we are. It put some sort of flesh on the bones of our demise, really. Just an awful day. And prior to that, for me, was obviously with Gary Johnson. I just noticed there was a couple of games before he left, and I just thought the toxic atmosphere that was at this club was just so vile. Well, now, whether that is generated, was generated by Gary, I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, he was the sort of fulcrum. But people, just horrible. It was just an atmosphere I've never experienced at Playmore in all the years I've been going since the 80s. And to me, it was just vile. And it was turning, I just thought the interesting part was, it was turning supporter against supporter. It's a bit like politics, in as much as you're either in this camp or you're in this camp, and you can't be in, you know, there are reasons. Yeah. You couldn't have a decent argument with anybody or a discussion. No, you're either with us or you're against us. So that was a very long answer to a reasonably easy question, which is just incredibly sad and really concerned now, certainly with the change in dates and the deadlines that pass.
There's supposed to be a deadline Tuesday, I'm talking on Thursday, days sort of meld into one, don't they? So there should have been a deadline Tuesday, which was the deadline for a buyer to put in a bid and hopefully have it accepted, I guess, as well, I don't know. Then today is the deadline for another 2 weeks added to, 10 working days added to the first stave off of administration. There could be a further 2 weeks, I understand. It's unusual to get a further 2 weeks, but not unprecedented. So what are your hopes from this process now? I mean, obviously we all hope that there's going to be a knight in shining armor coming around the corner with loads of money in his back pocket, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case. It's an interesting thing, isn't it, that when clubs like ours get into trouble and are struggling, there's a lot of people in football with money around, but that money doesn't always seem to filter down to clubs like us.
Well, no, this is the initiative that, you know, we've launched earlier this week, you know, the government investigation, which, you know, while it's there to help clubs like us, we're just out of its finger reaches, aren't we? In the tier that we're in the south, and all the, if you're in the north, you would just not be able to avail yourself of any of that help. Just seems a nonsense. Well, it doesn't seem a nonsense. It has to end somewhere, I suppose. And we are where we are. You know, it's a pretty, you know, benign thing to say, but we are where we are. And, you know, it's our fight, and we have to just sort of man up and get on with it. Well, how that you know turns out, I have no idea. And you know, like you say, you hope that somebody will ride to the rescue and it'll all be, you know, great. But the reality is, you know, that's probably not going to happen. You know, our stock has dropped so far that, you know, we're in this league and, you know, possibly not the viable proposition that we once were. You know, if we were a league club or even, you know, perhaps in the National League. So I would hope that you're right, that somebody would, but I can't see it. And, of course, the rumour, you know, again, the rumours a couple of weeks ago, you know, as soon as Clark Osborne did what he did, you know, there's loads of interest from loads of different parties and loads of people have been given NDAs. Well, you know, nothing much has happened since. So you kind of think, well, how true was that? You know, the other thing, just going back to the fans forum with no fans in it, you know, the vaulted question, you know, questions that were vetted. You know, we're definitely going to do this, and I'm not going anywhere. I mean, you know, you trust the bloke as far as you can throw him. And that just brings me to other sort of governance in football, which is the fit and proper test. It's not worth the paper it's written. I don't understand why they're using it. I mean, they're talking about now perhaps drilling down on it, but it's not worth it. You know, it's just time and time again, it's proven to be an absolute joke. You know, I remember Notts County being one, and I'm sure there are dozens of others that over the years have been, you know, sat or taken the fit and proper test and failed miserably, what, 2-3 months down the line. It's a joke. So I've got the question now because I'm so angry.
Where do you see it going? But I mean, the thing is, I mean, there are big questions like, are we ever going to be full-time again after this period? Are we ever going to be gracing the Football League again? I mean, they're questions that can't be answered at the moment, but they're worrying questions, aren't they?
They're massively worrying questions. And again, it's something I think quite a lot, there's no entitlement for us to be in the league, but because we spent all those, 80-odd years there, it's just what I'm used to.
Yeah.
You know, and the bitter pill of non-league was a hard one to swallow. Oh, I'm mixing my metaphors today. but, you know, we did it under Bucks and got back out, and then, you know, made the same mistakes. You know, once you've done it, you shouldn't really want to come, but you should learn from those mistakes. All right, it's not that simple in football, but, you know, to this time is, you know, is very different. And for all this, you know, I was a great supporter of Gary Johnson.
Yeah, I know you were.
To be honest and say, you know, I have to put my hands up and say, you know, I was still willing to stick with him long after other people had enough and had started to vent their spleen in quite appalling ways, in my opinion, at the football ground. But, you know, even I came to the, you know, realisation that Gary had to go, but I was possibly much longer afterwards than other people had already come to that decision. But, you know, you just got to be careful what you wish for. I'm not saying that, you know, we should have kept him at all, but, you know, everybody wants Osborne out, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's fine. I understand what you want him out, but what's your alternative? They don't have a plan. They just, it's just anger from within, and there's no logic to it, or it doesn't seem to be in a lot of the cases.
What do you think of Devon Day? It's one of those weird things where, you know, traditional rivalries are put aside, even though sometimes, you know, the rivalries are quite strong. But, you know, any help is welcome, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's amazing. And what it does show is that we are loved. And well, not just us. I mean, it's just the football family.
It would
happen anywhere, you know, whether it be Bury or Darlington or wherever it could be. You know, there would be people that come together. And whilst I don't want to criticise it at all, but to my mind, and I've spoken to a couple of people saying, when we had the game just after the clock, I was, you know, people were throwing money at it and putting it into, you know, fundraising. That's brilliant. And I am not going to criticise that, please. Don't for a minute. But it's not sustainable. It's not an answer. It's not an answer. But people are saying, oh, well, we're paying the wages this month. Yeah, that's great. Who's going to pay them next month or the month after? So, you know, I applaud people's effort. I'm not for one minute trying to sort of denigrate that, but it doesn't. It's not a long-term solution. Long-term solution lies with, you know, your knight in shining armour, and again, this is difficult for me. The trust. You know that I was the chairman of the trust in its first incarnation. I have a massive respect for the trust and its model. I'm a big believer in its model, but as far as I know, Nick and his people. Not in a position, you know. It's not, you can't just go, oh, yeah, we're going to run the club. You know, they'll understand the sort of demands of that. And they'll be, you know, open to the ideas from Exeter, who are a great resource when you're running a trust. I mean, I met with the Exeter guys lots of times and other trusts because these are the people who've done it, so you can learn from them. But I'm pretty confident or sure that Torquay Trust is not in a position at this point to sort of ride in and start paying wages. You know, it's a massive undertaking. You've got to have that finance in place. I may be wrong. I don't know. But I don't hear a great deal from them other than, you know, just comments in the press. I need for my purposes, more sort of info, a greater info flow.
Yeah. You'll be there Saturday, though, won't you?
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. A season ticket holder, as is my... It's my 12-year-old son, who's now a season ticket holder and died in the World Talkie fan.
Good.
But it's his only in flight third season. All he's seen is, like you're telling him all the glory, you know, five trips to Wembley.
Indeed.
Old Trafford, Ashton Gate, Tottenham. He don't believe me. Why would he?
It's a stupid old man telling me.
Yeah, what's this guy? Too many beers over the years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a little bit sad. You know, it was always my... wish to sort of pass on the pain of talking.
Well, you've passed it on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just to me, the where we are and everything that's going on, it doesn't surprise me. It's what I'm used to as a talkie fan. It's always wretched luck, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll get the occasional trip to Wembley and a great day out, which sort of, I don't know, gives you the energy to go on for the next 4 or 5 years of rubbish. You know, So that's the lot of our Torquay United Sport. That is the unique attraction of this beautiful little club. So I just hope that somebody somewhere, you know, maybe I don't care if he was foreign ownership, you know, I know a lot of people don't agree with that and I possibly wouldn't. But when you're this desperate, you kind of snatch anybody's hand off. Let's put an advert up in the Dubai Own Express, whatever it is. I don't know if there is one out there.
Well, it's not a bad idea.
I'll pay for it.
Mate, thank you very much for coming on. It's horrible times, but I'm sure we'll get through them and we'll chat again on the other side.
On the other side of Aaron
Downs? Yeah, well, on the other side of whoever.
All right, mate, well, thanks very much for speaking to me. Sorry if it didn't make a lot of sense.
It made an awful lot of sense.
Super angry man, and but as you say, we will come out, you know, there is a future. Yeah. What that is, I don't know. You know, in some way,
Talk United won't die, whatever happens. Well, no, but there'll be some form of Talk United, and fans like you will be there.
I'll be there. There's too many people that love this place. Yeah. You know? And even if it was a Phoenix club, which is, you know, probably the worst, well, not the worst scenario, but just the, you know, it's a long way back. But
yeah,
at least you're still, you know, you've still got that camaraderie, and we can all sort of meet up and moan like we always have done.
Lovely. Cheers.
No worries, mate.
Thank you.
Take care. Cheers, buddy.
Have a good day. Bye.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up for the ride of yellows.